Since the earliest times of our church, the fourth Sunday of Easter, that would be today, has always been dedicated to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. All of us can immediately picture Christ, the Good Shepherd, in our minds. Perhaps as we sang the responsorial psalm, Psalm 23, that image came to mind. This is an image that we find even in the earliest iconography of the church. So going to the catacombs, one can find a statue of Christ the Good Shepherd, also a painting, earliest images of Christ. Also, and even more importantly, when we look at the gospel today, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. But when we look through the Old Testament prophecies, those also prefigure the Messiah, Christ, as the coming Good Shepherd. So with that in mind, we should not forget that this is a very powerful image. At the time of our Lord, there were many shepherds, especially surrounding Jerusalem. Sheep were raised for their wool primarily, and also for religious sacrifice. Like at Passover time, thousands of sheep would be slaughtered. So the shepherds were prevalent, but this was also a very difficult task. You may well remember our former deacon, Thomas Hahn, now Father Thomas Hahn, who lives in Indiana, raised on a farm. He reminded us last year how a shepherd has to lead the sheep. Cattle are driven, like a cattle drive, but sheep are led. Well, if a shepherd is leading the flock, he also has to be very careful as what's going behind him, too. It's like a good parent. You have to have eyes in the back of your head. So the shepherd, of course, has to lead this flock, these precious little assets, to pasture, to water. The shepherd has to make sure they stick together because, since they're following, a sheep could lag behind, maybe go off on its own little path somewhere. Of course, there's always the ravenous wolves, or there's other animals. There are the thieves, too. We hear of the sheepfold, which is really a pen, like a circular pen, either of rocks or shrubbery. So they would be herded in there at night, and the shepherd became the gate. He actually usually slept in front of the pen. This is one reason why the shepherds always had those staffs, those crooks. At one end is the hook, so you could always drag in the sheep that's going astray. At the bottom, there is like a little fan, like a spatula, where he could kick up pebbles to hit the backside of the sheep who wasn't moving fast enough. And then, of course, if the animal's attacked, or maybe there's a thief, he could always use it to whack them on the head. So there's a purpose to having that crook there. Well, with all that in mind, we immediately see that to be a good shepherd, one had to have dedication, fidelity, self-sacrifice. Well, with that, we see how our Lord fits the image. Jesus came into this world to do the will of his Father. He humbled himself, as St. Paul said, becoming like a slave to serve us. Christ was always faithful to his Father's will. He came as the Good Shepherd to perfectly reveal God's truth to us. At times, we know in the gospel that wasn't easy. He had to confront the Pharisees and chastise them. He had to correct sinners and say, "I forgive you, but do not commit this sin again." Not an easy task to preach the truth. Of course, in the end, Christ offers himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He is not only the shepherd, the priest who offers the sacrifice, he's the lamb. He becomes that sacrificial lamb whose blood washes away our sin and then forms the new perfect covenant. With the resurrection, he opens the gates of heaven for us, preparing the way for us. The key then is, given that Christ is the Good Shepherd, but realizing Christ has ascended to heaven, who do we follow now? He didn't leave the flock abandoned. As we hear in our reading from Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, having received all those gifts of the Holy Spirit, proclaims who Christ is and what he has done. Remember, almost 3,000 were baptized that day. The apostles were those early shepherds entrusted by our Lord, not only to keep the little believing flock together, but to go out and bring all to Christ. Of course, they had to have the dedication, the fidelity, the self-sacrifice. Remember, all of those apostles, including St. Matthias, who replaced Judas, all suffered a martyr's death, except St. John, who survived the means of execution. Nevertheless, good shepherds. And Christ continues to entrust his church to good shepherds. That's one reason why we're here. We're here as a faithful flock. But I, as your pastor, which means shepherd, as your priest, am responsible to make sure that you are being fed, that you are following the right path. So my primary obligation here at this Mass is, first of all, to proclaim the living Word of God. And it is God's Word. It is God's truth. But it's a living Word. So that means that as the time of the apostles has continued on, we have this beautiful continuity of teaching. It would be wonderful if every issue of today's world could be found in the Bible. Issues like nuclear warfare or biochemical warfare, euthanasia, in vitro fertilization, whatever it might be. How wonderful if we had this book that had all the answers. Well, we have the truth, but then the church, teaching under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, continues to understand and apply that truth to today's world. My role, then, is to make sure you and I know what's true in the eyes of God, what our church teaches. This isn't a matter of it's up to everybody's opinion. It's a matter of following the Word of God, hearing the voice of Christ speaking through the magisterium, the teaching authority of his church. But then, too, we have our sacrifice as priest. I offer the sacrifice. And how wonderful it is to know that at this Mass, you and I are fed with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. In all of this, then, we see how Christ is that good shepherd still living in our midst. Now, for you young people especially, I hope you take this to heart, because in our world today, just like the gospel warns, there are so many other voices that are like the thieves and marauders that could distract, take you off the path, could offer you some kind of nourishment that instead really leads to spiritual starvation. Keep in mind, here in the church, our Catholic Church, you'll find the truth, you'll find the spiritual nourishment that you need. If it weren't true, we still wouldn't be here. Consider that. After all these centuries, since the time of the apostles, despite the persecutions, schisms, heresies, internal turmoils, be it scandal, personal frailty, whatever it is, we wouldn't be here if this were not God's church, and if we weren't Christ's flock, and Christ wasn't teaching, guiding, and nourishing us. But then we have to consider how important it is to have good homes. Our dear Pope John Paul II, now recently canonized, always emphasized the importance of the family. He called the family the domestic church. He referred to parents as the shepherds. How beautiful that is. But really, when we finish with this Mass, and then we go forth, what's going to sustain us as a faithful flock? Who will provide us the nourishment, spiritual nourishment, the spiritual guidance that we need. Hopefully, parents who are good shepherds in their home, looking after the souls of their children. Keep in mind, when our Lord entered this world, he had two shepherds. One was named Saint Joseph, one was named our Blessed Mother Mary. They looked after him, and each had their own roles. Yes, Saint Joseph, the husband, the father, was the head of the house. But Mary, the mother, the spouse, truly was the heart. And mothers are the heart. And that brings us to Mother's Day and the importance of mothers being good shepherds. So you dads can wait till June. But right now, we have Mother's Day. I truly believe that mothers are given a vocation of being the shepherd for the kids. They are given the vocation of being that heart of the home. When I think of my own life, I think of my dear mom. She's the one who really taught my brother and myself our prayers. She's the one who helped us prepare for the sacraments, who taught us the religion, who helped us with the religion homework from St. Bernadette's grade school and so on. She's the one who made sure that as a family, we went to Mass every Sunday, that we went to confession regularly. She's the one who instilled good Catholic traditions in our home. But in all, there's a shepherd who gave us the identity of being a Catholic, being part of this church, and being able to hear the voice of Christ. And granted, I know that in our world today, it's not always easy in families because oftentimes we don't have two parents. But nevertheless, a good mother can make all the difference. You may have seen the news this week where Kevin Durant, who plays basketball for the Oklahoma City Thunder, received the Most Valuable Player Award. Well, Kevin Durant was raised by a single mom. His brother is 3 years older. His mom was 18 when she had his older brother, 21 when she had him, and at that time, the father seems to have disappeared. She admits she was too young, but nevertheless, even though 21, she knew she had to care for her children with dedication, fidelity, self-sacrifice. She worked sometimes more than one job. She made sure, though, they had a good education, sending them to Montrose Christian School in Rockville, Maryland, so that they had a faith-based education. But as Kevin received that award, he first paused to thank God, and I thought that was wonderful in itself. But then he said to his mom, he said, "Mom, you made us believe. You kept us off the street. You put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP." Later, his mom, Wanda, said this to all of you moms. She said, "Never give up. Always put your children first. Always commit yourselves to their dreams, their aspirations, and their goals, even when it gets hard." So my brothers and sisters, a good mother can make all the difference in the world, just as did our Blessed Mother. So we have to remember, Christ has a plan. And that plan is, yes, we have a church, we have shepherds appointed, we're called to be the faithful flock, but part of the plan, too, is we have homes. Those domestic churches. We have holy marriages, God willing. We have to have that Saint Joseph, that Blessed Mother in our homes. But that Blessed Mother, you moms, need to be the heart. And you have to be a good shepherd that takes care of your children and leads them to Christ. And with that now, I ask all moms to please stand for the special Mother's Day blessing. Heavenly Father, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Therefore, we ask you to bless these women gathered in our midst, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers, just as our Blessed Mother Mary. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect and love. And may your blessing descend upon them and remain with them always, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all stand now and profess our faith. I believe in one God.